Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to yet another episode of the Philly Mick and Hump Show. I am your host, the Philly Mick.
And I'm the Philly Hump.
Welcome to yet another Wednesday show here as we discuss all things Eagles, Phillies, Flyers, Sixers, you name it. We'll talk about it. If you want to call into the show, please do so. Follow us on Twitter, the Philly Mick, and the Philly Hump underscore under after each word. And Facebook, of course, don't forget the group and fan pages on there as well. So that being said, it's an eventful week. Sammy Bradford decided to end his super long holdout.
Yeah.
And,
I'm wondering if
team.
He thought it was a hunger strike at the same time. And so he figured he was really freaking hungry, so it's time to eat and then get back to work.
Yeah, maybe. That could be it. Sammy Sleeves isn't the brightest bulb.
No. Yeah, I mean, the Sam Bradford era begins again, folks. Sammy B is back at work. I know everybody is very excited about that.
Well, you know, it's not necessarily excited. I obviously you were kind of kidding, but you know, I feel like this is what Howie's plan was all along, is to have Sam Bradford play this year, and you see where the kid is, Wentz, after year one, and if you feel like he's ready to be plugged in right away. Maybe Bradford, given his injury history, will have a nicely timed injury around week 12 or 13, and especially if the Eagles are, you know, not in the playoff hunt, be a perfect opportunity to get the kid some real game action.
Yeah.
And then, take it from there. Obviously if Sam gets hurt a little bit earlier in the year, it'll probably be Chase Daniels. And I think, again, that's the reason why Chase Daniels was signed, is a contingency plan for Sam Bradford should he get hurt, if they got a blown away offer for a trade, something like that. So I think Chase Daniels was here, God forbid.
Then you finish out
the year. You know, and again, I don't think many people are expecting much out of the Eagles this year. And you really shouldn't, you know, especially after
right.
we went through the schedule last week.
Clearly, we're not expecting much. Yeah.
Well, we both had 8-8, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and honestly.
Yeah, we each had 8-8, and that's about what their talent level is.
And then that's based on Sam Bradford being the quarterback. I think, again, if you have Chase Daniels, maybe that drops to 7-9, 6-10. And if you get a significant amount of Carson Wentz, given general rookie quarterback struggles, that could be even worse. But, and unfortunately, since we don't have our first pick next year, obviously I'd like us to have a halfway decent pick because I don't want to, give the Browns too much.
Right.
So we kind of.
But you also have to remember, if you do finish like where the Eagles will be picking in the top five, and then obviously Cleveland has that pick, you still have your second round pick in the top five, your third, and so forth.
True.
That
certainly helps,
But yeah, obviously everybody looks at that first round pick as the one that really helps the most.
Right,
and that's not going to be there this year.
I almost wish that somehow they could have finagled it to where it was the second rounder next year.
The second this year and the first
after that.
Yeah.
Because I feel like the first rounder, in 2 years from now is going to be a lot higher, hopefully, God willing, if Wentz, turns out to be who we hope.
Yeah, you're believing that we're going to progress. Sure.
Exactly. Now, you know, while everyone's kind of caught up in the whole Sam Bradford thing, there is one player that still has not reported to voluntary workouts, and that is, unfortunately, our best defensive player in Fletcher Cox.
Yeah, which has me having a mild panic attack. I'm not, you know, I do not like that Fletcher Cox is not in the building, not with the team right now. Not that there hasn't been any indication from his camp whether or not he's going to, you know, this holdout is going to carry over into any kind of mandatory stuff. Which, I mean, look, if he's just trying to make a statement by sitting out the first couple of voluntary stuff, I'm okay with that. And then he's going back to the mandatory stuff. Like, I'm cool with that.
But what concerns me, though...
Have any indication that that's
the case. Yeah, and what concerns me, though, is the simple fact of the matter is Fletcher Cox wants to get paid. He wants, you know, $100 million.
He wants some dollars.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, and you know what? As much as, you know, it's not my money, what do I care, but...
Sure.
You know, you think back. Well, yeah, I mean, you think of you know how much money we will be investing in him, and that's going to be a large sum of money. You know, it could be almost you know $20 million, and obviously once we get rid of Sam, you know, off the books, that'll free up some of that money to help pay for Cox. But you know. It just doesn't leave us, you know, unfortunately, it doesn't leave us a lot of money to help build and put pieces around Fletcher Cox. And that's, I think,
right.
Is, you know, again, if your goal is to win a championship, you know, he needs help. And, you know, you look at some of the great Eagles players in history and, you know, you think of, you know, Reggie White and Jerome Brown and
sure.
Clyde Simmons and Seth Joyner and, you know, all those guys who were on the same team. And
that's
obviously it was a
what
different.
They, all in common, they were all in the same unit. Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, it's kind of a different game there, a different era. But you know, again, I think. Right. But you know, the simple fact of the matter is, if Cox wants to be even not only have success for the team, but have personal success, having players around him who can free up. You know, defenders, that will only help his game out. Now it's, okay, well, there's Fletcher Cox. Let's double-team that guy, you know, and I feel confident
yeah.
that we, you know, single man on the rest of the line will be fine. Well, you know, if that's the
sure.
case, Fletch, you ain't getting to the quarterback too much. You know, obviously if you have another guy there that would warrant somebody saying, oh, hey, we got to watch out for him, you know, ooh, which one do we do? You know, and maybe they do more of a zone to try and protect. Well, then you're going to have a field day. But until that point.
Greatest example is Fletcher Cox, his rookie year, he was pretty good. He wasn't like, you know, all world or anything. But then what do? They bring in a guy like Connor Barwin. They, you know, and then they get Benny Logan in the draft. And all of a sudden, Fletcher Cox is a bit more freed up. And he's able to go, you know, get to the quarterback and, you know, build up those stats. Well,
yeah.
Now all of a sudden, if you factor in, you know, hey, with the contract issue, we may not be able to keep Benny Logan, maybe. You know, well, then that's another guy taken away from the defensive line. Or we don't
right.
keep Connor Barwin, you know. That's
right.
That's taking away from people who are making it easier for Fletcher Cox to be more productive.
Exactly, and you know, and unfortunately, I think
it's a double-edged sword because I know Fletcher Cox wants to get paid, but then again, you've also got to try to find a way to leave enough money so you can afford to keep the Benny Logans and the Connor Barwin.
Sure. Now, you know, again, I think one of the greatest mistakes of the Chip Kelly era is something that nobody's talking about is the simple fact that. You know, they should have, last year, they should have done what they could have, they've done whatever they needed to do to sign him to a long-term deal last year. Before he had
it's
a,
it's a shame
know,
that guy who was running the contract, who everybody now believes to do no wrong, didn't lock him up then. Because, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but Howie Rosen was still doing contracts at that time.
I mean, theoretically, that's what the word is, but... And again, we don't know.
Well, again,
we don't know.
They don't set it up very transparent. We don't really know for sure if Howie Rosen was doing the contracts, or you know, Chip was doing that as well.
No, very
so,
true.
I mean, they're not very transparent about that.
No. And you don't also know if maybe they, you know, maybe they put a bunch of offers, you know, to, you know, towards Fletch, and he just didn't, you know, he didn't agree to it. Maybe they did try, but, you know, I think again, you know, that is going to haunt us, because now we're going to have to pay him like a Ndamukong Suh, and I don't want. And not that I don't think necessarily he's not worth it, but let's be honest, you know, he's not J.J. Watt. You know, he's not, you know, somebody like that where he's dominating so much that, you know, he's worth that money. I feel
well,
like
Fletcher Cox does play well in the passing game as far as the pass rusher, but his primary role is to, you know, a deep tackle. Stop LeBron.
Agreed. And again,
and,
another reason why I feel
game,
like the D tackle position.
Sorry. Yeah. Go ahead.
No. I feel like the D tackle position is one that, while you're right, it's all about stopping the run for the most part. You're not going to see too many sacks, so like the stat sheet isn't going to blow up for D tackles. And I feel like, obviously, their importance is a lot more than what you can see on paper. I get all that. But I feel like to tie up that much money into one person isn't beneficial for, you know, a team to build a championship-level defense.
I think we were coming up with the same way, or a different way of saying the same thing. Because what I was going to say, if you're going to invest that kind of money, it better be someone whose primary impact is on the passing game, whether it be as a quarterback making the pass, a receiver catching it, or as a defender breaking up the pass or getting to the quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are the guys you invest that kind of money in. Because this is a pass-first league. You saw it in the draft. That's why guys like Reggie Ragland and A'shaun Robinson and Jaron Reed all fell in the draft, because their primary roles are stopping the run, not getting after the quarterback.
Yeah.
And so that's why their stock fell. So yeah, that's kind of my argument. And I don't want to say, look, as much as I love Fletcher Cox, and I do, I think he's a phenomenal player, and I think he has the capabilities to be maybe not as good, maybe this is going to sound unfair when I say it, but Reggie White level good.
Oh.
I think he has that kind of talent.
Whoa.
I don't think he's there right now as far as I look, but I think if he were to continue to progress, like if he keeps taking the level of steps forward that he's taking from year one to year two, year two to year three, like if he takes that same kind of leap forward this year, then, I mean, that just says to me he's progressing at that level to where that's how good he is, if that makes sense.
Oh, it definitely does. That's a bold statement, though.
It is a very bold statement, and I mean, that's how much. What I'm trying to say is that's how much I believe in Fletcher Cox.
Wow.
And I want him to be here long term.
So you would
like,
say
again,
that you love Cox?
I would say that I love Cox, and it's I'm glad
fantastic.
We don't have the style board like they do at 97.5. So play that over and over again.
Well, guess what? I'm going to figure that out. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'll figure it out. If anybody is listening, we're about halfway through the show. Please give a call in. Call the number is 323-642-1469. Join in, call in, do it. Be a part of the show. We'll bring you in on the podcast if you should like. And we can continue discussing whatever we are discussing.
Or
anyway,
we can change the topic if you got one.
Right. Now that brings me to an interesting thought.
Okay.
Now, you brought up the whole Reggie White comparison thing. Now, obviously, in our lifetime, you know, we're both,
mm-hmm.
you know, 35-ish.
Yeah.
So we've
well,
been
be
on
35.
This earth. Yeah, I'll be 35 in you know, a week or two. So in our 35 years on this planet,
mm-hmm.
what would you rank the top 10 in our lifetime Philadelphia Eagles on the defensive side of the football?
Well, definitely number one is Reggie White.
Definitely number one is Reggie White.
Yeah.
Number two?
I would say probably Dawkins.
Okay, I agree with you on that one. That one. Number three?
Eric Allen.
Okay, I'll actually agree with you on that one, too. Number four,
I'd say Seth Joyner.
Okay, I was actually going to say Jerome Brown.
I was going to go JB5, so...
And I was going to go Seth 5,
gonna,
so...
Okay, so we basically the same five, yeah.
So we have the same top five, it's just four and five are switched, okay.
You're right.
Number six.
Number six, I'll say probably Clyde Simmons.
Okay, actually, God darn it. I actually was going to say that, too.
Number seven, Wes Hopkins.
Okay, this is where we stray.
Okay.
I feel like number seven is Jeremiah Trotter.
Okay, I was going to have Trotter eight.
Okay, well then my eight is actually Fletcher Cox.
Okay, well I was going to go nine Cox.
Okay. My nine, geez. I'm actually going to go a little surprising here. I'm going to go Trent Cole.
I don't dislike it. I had him falling just outside of the top 10. I actually had Troy Vincent in number 10.
And I was actually about to say Troy Vincent was my boy at number 10. I couldn't put Wes in the top 10.
It's crazy how much we just had in common there.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I think we had like seven exactly right. That
we
flip-flopped and then one different.
Two flip-flop.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
that's pretty amazing. Wait, who was the guy that I
did? 30, 35
that you
years.
Had in the top 10 that I didn't have?
I think, was it a Trent Cole?
Yeah,
no,
okay.
Or was it Trotter?
No, it was Trent Cole.
Trent Cole was outside your top 10. You know, Trent Cole's number two in sacks.
Is he really?
All-time Eagles. Yeah,
wow.
Behind Reggie, obviously.
Yeah, I was going to say only behind the all-time sack. Is he about the is Reggie still
no,
the all-time sack?
No, unfortunately, Bruce Smith has that.
Oh, okay. Screw him.
Bruce Smith, yeah. What did he ever do for anybody?
Boy, I love losing Super Bowls.
Yeah, apparently. Well, so do we.
Yeah. At least we didn't do it 4 years in a row.
That is true. We did not. But, so we have our top 10 roughly the same. Now, let's flip-flop it and go offense. Who are we going top 10?
I was going to say, this is going to probably be harder for us.
This is going to be a lot harder, and it's going to be completely different. And I don't even know where I want to go number one.
Yeah, I'm looking. Oh, man.
Does Jaworski count? I mean, he's kind of right on that cusp of.
I mean,
you know,
I remember watching him a little bit, like not much, but.
I don't as an Eagle. I was too young.
Yeah,
young.
I'm almost going to say he's going to drop. He'll probably be in my top 10, but he'll drop down a little bit just because I don't remember much of his career, you know, because I just wasn't alive from it.
Okay. So who are we going number one?
Instinctively, just right off the top of my head, I said to myself, Randall Cunningham. And so I always like to get people.
But
just
I feel like that's. I feel like that's more personal preference. And
sure.
Obviously, this is a personal. But I feel like if you're gonna go, if you're gonna go
you
quarterback number one,
you probably should go McNabb.
You should go McNabb.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is really tough.
Because we weren't alive for the Carmichael days.
No. And Quick was.
Quick was
ending.
Right there on the edge too, because he got hurt like, you know, pretty soon after I started watching.
Yeah. I mean, Keith Jackson was late 80s, right?
Yeah, oh, Keith Jackson would definitely be on the list. Yeah, I remember a lot of Keith Jackson.
And again, here's one to throw a wrench in it. What about T.O.? Mm-hmm. Plain and
hey,
simple, athletic ability.
The year and
the fact that
he
spent one
here,
season
was there
here?
Anybody that put up, was there anybody that put up better numbers in that year and a half that he was here?
No. I mean, he's an instant
Hall
of Famer.
I would have to say T.O. belongs.
I mean, and then you go, you know, I feel like Westbrook and Shady have to be in this list. I feel like Randall and McNabb have to be in this list.
Mm-hmm. I could justify going
like,
McNabb one and Cunningham two.
I could do that. And I feel like maybe a Westbrook three and
then Shady four.
Shady four, I could do that. So that's four right there.
Yeah.
Say you throw in T.O. five. You throw in Keith
sure.
Jackson six.
And now are we just going offensive skill position or are we throwing offensive linemen in there too?
Oh, that's
another
question.
I feel like Runyon belongs in that list.
I
you know?
Feel like Runyon and probably Trey.
Yeah. Your old neighbor.
Yeah, my old neighbor. So that right there is eight.
And then I almost just feel like reputation alone, like Quick maybe does belong there.
Probably. So that's nine then, in no particular order at this point. But
right. And would you say 10 to Sean? Because I feel like we can come up with nine pretty easily, but who's that 10?
So you definitely would have Deshaun over Macklin.
I just feel like he was a more dynamic player here.
Sure, and I feel like his best season versus Macklin's best season are pretty close.
I feel like Deshaun, yeah.
And obviously Deshaun has more memorable moments, obviously with the Miracle in the Meadowlands.
Well, yeah, and that's the other thing, the punt returns too, that's where that plays into it for me.
Okay, so there's 10 right there. Do we have anybody who could supersede those 10? Any other offensive linemen? What about Jason Peters? Perennial All-Pro?
You could make the argument.
I'm trying to go further back.
Is he enough to kick off the
What about Tom
Byers?
Okay.
Hey, what about Our boy, big
Fred
fan
X.
of our show, Fred X.
Fred X.
4th and 26, baby.
4th and 26. You know, I actually think I was, not that I was actually talking to Freddie, but he has an official Facebook page now. I'm friends with him
as a
personal page, but now he has his official page he just started. That I immediately joined and shared with everyone I know.
Yeah, and I definitely joined as well.
Nice. There we go. All right, so we got about 5 minutes. Call into the show, 323-642-1469.
In the podcast,
tough.
We'll talk about our 10 favorite special teams Eagles.
Donny Jones! Jeff Eagles!
Oh,
I mean, yeah, what about Keith Byers? I mean, What about?
Yeah, that was. Yeah, I think I.
I'm honestly. This is really
what
tough.
Rich Brown.
Oh, good God.
Let me just bring up names to piss you off before we go into the podcast.
What about Nah Brown?
Oh, God. Nah
what
Brown.
About, what about Mike
Keith
Vick?
Sherman.
Coy Detmer.
Actually, Vick might bring a bit of an argument to in our lifetime, because if you think about it, if you came up with individual performances, like the 10 best performances of our lifetime would rank right up there.
Yeah, well, if we're doing that, what about Nicky Foles against the Raiders?
Yeah.
Sure. Any dog can have his day, you know what I mean?
Rodney Pete against the Lions in the playoffs, sure.
Yeah, sure.
Hey, you know another name, Herschel Walker.
Okay. I mean, that's...
You know, he was one of my all-time favorites.
I feel like,
he wasn't here that long. He made most of his
name. Well, that's the thing. Neither was T.O., and we had to put T.O. on this list. So,
yeah, that's true. Yeah, Herschel was here a lot longer. Ricky Waters.
For what?
Yeah. Was there a more memorable moment than that? His first game with an Eagle coming up with the who for what? Alligator arm.
Oh, my God.
Tampa.
Oh, that was terrible.
Although, typically, when we come up with memorable, it's supposed to be a good thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm trying to think of, like, tight ends. I mean, what about Brent Celek? Does he make your top 10? He's been consistent.
He'd be honorable mention. I mean, I would think Vic would be in before I put Celek in.
Okay. So, right now, can we agree that DeSean Jackson is our number 10?
Yeah, I can get on board with that. I mean, you can definitely sell me on it. I mean, I would love to have, like, you know, either Herschel Walker or Keith Byers. But as far as,
that's what I'm saying. Does
if you were to say my
Keith
10
Byers,
favorite,
does Keith Byers, okay, who do you like better, Keith Byers or Herschel Walker?
Herschel Walker.
Okay, does Herschel Walker beat out DeSean Jackson?
You know, Herschel never had the signature-type plays that DeSean Jackson had.
Honestly,
lead the NFC title game, and as much as you know, I was a huge Herschel Walker fan.
But DeSean Jackson had several
big plays that, you know, that were really just a big part of our, you know, key moments, especially at the tail end of the Andy Reid successful portion of the era.
Right. And obviously it's a little bit harder for us that, you know, I think our prime Eagle watching days, you know, were the Andy Reid days. So we're going to think of McNabb and Westbrook and those teams, and then even, you know, in the early, you know, the mid-2000s, and those are going to be a little bit more in our mind. Honestly, when I think back to Herschel, when I think back to Herschel Walker, I literally cannot picture him doing a single thing. I know he was an Eagle. I know he did very well when he was here. I got his and Randall's autograph at Lehigh. Other than that, I really can't think of like one moment where I was like, oh, snap, Herschel.
Yeah, wow, did you see what Herschel just did?
Right. Where DeSean, I have like 10.
Yeah.
Part of that is being more fresh in my mind, but part of that is also DeSean Jackson was just the king of making ridiculous plays.
He made stuff happen. Yeah.
Well, we are running out of time. If you want to join into the podcast, please do call into the show. If not, download us on iTunes, find us on Facebook, and on, of course, the Twitter at @_Philly_Mick and @_Philly_Hump. Man, that's a mouthful to say. We want to thank everybody who listens. I was going to say, what else am I missing here? Just follow us wherever you can. And for the Philly Mick,
I'm the Philly Hump.
Thanks for listening, Philadelphia. All right, we are on live.
All right. Time to let the hair down.
Time to light that cigarette.
I like this kind of discussion we had here. I think I would definitely agree, though, that Deshaun Jackson had a first longer bye.
Well, and that's the thing. I feel like as much as...
And I don't feel like we're shortchanging either of those guys.
That's the thing. I feel like we're missing somebody, because like I feel like in our lifetime there has to have been 10 better players than Deshaun Jackson, but I'm not thinking of any. Like I've run through a couple of people in my head, you know. Like and that's the thing is we weren't always that amazing offensive team. Like yes, we've had some good years. Obviously the Vic year. You know, that was amazing. The first Chip Kelly year, that was amazing. Had all these, like, tiny little offensive, you know, spurts. But we've always been more of a defensive team. And we've had a larger amount of stars on the defensive side of the ball. And especially
and
since we're only going back 30, 35 years.
Yeah. Because this, as a city, has been more of a defensive-minded town, you know, blue-collar.
Well, absolutely. It's a blue-collar town, exactly. It's you know, you see that hardworking defense, the grinding, the grittiness, the guttiness.
Sure.
And
I agree with you. And so that's where, you know, some of these skill position guys, you know, that we've been picking from, you know, and I keep trying to think, is there an offensive lineman that we would put in there? What was it? Mayberry, the offensive lineman that was the carryover from Ray Rhodes.
Jermaine Mayberry? Jermaine Mayberry, yeah. So the last we had it, in no particular order, McNabb, Randall, Westbrook, McCoy, T.O., Keith Jackson, Trey Thomas, John Runyon, who am I forgetting?
I was about to ask you that.
There's one person I'm forgetting besides Deshaun Jackson.
Right. Michael Vick.
Did we decide Michael Vick?
I thought we did decide Michael Vick.
I thought we said Jason Peters.
Oh, maybe it was Jason Peters. Okay.
I think
I'm willing
Peters.
To go along with Jason Peters. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think when you look at those 10 right there, I would feel like both of us would put Deshaun Jackson number 10, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would.
Okay, so then that's our barometer for seeing if we could try and beat out Deshaun Jackson. Does Michael Vick beat out Deshaun Jackson?
The longevity. Deshaun Jackson was a player here while Vick was here, and he was a player here for Foles. And he would have continued to be successful. Does part of it like hurt because we feel like his continued success has gone elsewhere? You know, if it had been where his entire career, start to finish, were an Eagle, or at least the really productive portion, were here. Does some of it hurt the fact that he left with still some meat on the bone, with still him being good enough to be a performer somewhere else?
Yeah. And I think when you look at Vic, and again, also looking at Herschel Walker, I feel like he wasn't as productive as he was here as he was elsewhere. So
essentially had a good 7 or 8 games.
And Herschel Walker again, you know, from Dallas, you know, from Minnesota.
Right.
You know, you're not thinking of Eagles. Now, obviously, that can translate to T.O. because, again, you think of San Fran, you think of Dallas, you think of, you know. But I feel like the year and a half that he was here, he put up insane numbers. He put up insane numbers in the Super Bowl. He pretty much almost willed us to win that game.
Yeah.
And I feel like also the backstory behind all the craziness helps in a way.
Yeah, it adds a certain mystique to it.
Like a what if.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I have no doubt that, you know, someday your son is going to be asking you stories about T.O. I'm like, was he really, you know, playing on a broken leg and basically manhandling the Patriots secondary?
The all-pro secondary that was the Patriots? Yeah.
Yeah.
He did. Made him look silly.
Yeah. And it's going to be funny now. As the story's going, it's going to get... Yeah, 122 yards.
I mean,
a shame, man.
It's
impossible for me to bring that up and not get a little angry.
Yeah.
Because that just should have been worked out. And whether you think you think it was on McNabb, on Owens, on the Eagles, yeah, I've told you this. I think there was enough blame to go around. I think it was a little bit of everybody's fault.
Yeah.
And
it
just leaves me curious.
Well, then that leads me to what our next top 10 should be, is,
mm-hmm.
and this might certainly be more of a Philadelphia thing, but top 10 like mistakes or regrets.
Okay.
You know, like
organizational.
Perfect example,
letting
Dawkins go to Denver.
Right.
That one haunts us. The whole T.O. thing.
Sure.
Haunts us.
Sure. Maybe the handling of Eric Lindros in the playoffs.
Exactly. Handling of Eric Lindros. The trade of Charles Barkley.
Sure. Those immediately jump off the page to me.
Yeah.
Letting Reggie White leave.
letting Reggie White leave. Exactly. I feel like...
Trading
Cliff
Lee.
Totally, I feel like we totally could have a top 10 of just Philadelphia all-time.
Not only would we have top
situations.
10, there would be six or seven really good choices that would be left off the list because of the funders to Philadelphia were made.
Absolutely.
One that probably wouldn't make our list should be thought about. Couldn't we have come up with another way to teach Chris Carter a lesson other than by cutting him? Like, couldn't you find him? Could you have benched him for a game? Like, did you have to cut him?
He turned out to be a Hall of Fame player.
Yeah.
Trading Ryan Sandberg.
Yep.
What
did we ever get for Ryan Sandberg?
A bag of peanuts.
Trivia question. What did the Phillies get for Ryan Sandberg? Call in now.
Trading Will Chamberlain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just trading certain guys. Moses Malone, wasn't he traded too?
Then again, Moses Malone was like traded 38,000 times, but.
Oh, sure.
There's
trading for Derek Coleman twice. Trading for Andrew Bynum.
Sure.
That set this whole tank in motion. Which, real quickly, I don't want to get onto that subject. Real quick, are you one of those that think Kinky should have gone, or were you? I felt like you were probably in on it the same way I was with Kinky, that you thought the tank was a good thing.
Yeah, the tank was definitely a good thing. I would have loved to have seen him see it out, but, I wasn't necessarily...
You were breaking up, but you thought maybe he should have been...
Yeah.
Yes, but he should have given a chance. I agree with you. Yeah, I know we don't talk a whole lot of NBA here on the show, but I wanted to get that in there.
That's the thing. In a week's time now, it's the draft lottery, and that will determine such a large way whether or not this whole tank thing is going to really work out. If we don't get in the top two, that will end up being.
If we somehow get the first pick and the Lakers fall down to four and we get picks 1 and 4, they should build a statue for Sam Hinkie outside the Wells Fargo Center.
Yeah.
And we were able to get Ben Simmons and Buddy Hield.
Sure. I'd take that.
Because then all of a sudden, then you'd see some, you know, fruition from all this wait-and-see approach and tank, 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 and then we get Sarge over, we have Benson. Man, we'd have a lot of bigs. And then you can just simply trade one of them for some shooters if you want.
Yeah.
And if we can finally get Embiid on the court. I really think it's just my warped mind, maybe, or my cynical mind. I really think there might have been some kind of backdoor deal where the Sixers were told by Adam Silver in the NBA, look, this whole tank thing that you guys have done, if you guys insist on keeping Henke and basically promoting the fact that you're trying to lose, we're not going to let you get the first pick. And so I think Henke was then given the chance to just graciously step away so that the Sixers would have a chance at it.
Maybe.
Because I think the NBA just wanted to find a way to say, look, guys, we're not rewarding your behavior for what you did.
So,
I think that sucks, but because they created the whole rule, the whole idea behind if you tank, you get these draft picks and you get the chance to build your team that way. And then they get mad at you for using their own system the right way.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think what their problem really was the fact that the Sixers were signing, like, D-League guys to play NBA games and not giving real NBA players, you know, contracts to come play in the NBA. Yeah, there were some guys who were borderline guys that should have been on an NBA roster. The Sixers were basically, no, we're not interested because they're going to make us too good so that we can't tank and get our top picks.
Yeah. I mean,
although I will say one of my problems with the whole thing is I get that you were trying to develop the top pick that you got, but with all those second-round picks, man, you needed one or two of those to pan out. You've got nothing out of any of those second-round picks. And I know that they're only second-round picks, but when you have, like, 10 or 11 shots at it, like, you better be producing at least – give me a couple players that can play out of that second round. They just haven't gotten anything out of that.
Well,
I think I just filled our Sixers talk quota for the next 3 years.
I was going to say, yeah, you're probably right. I mean, honestly, though, looking at the Sixers, though, think about it. If you know, and as much as you know, everybody says kind of Buddy Hield, I'd love to see somebody like a Chris Dunn.
Sure.
Kind of like a baby Westbrook. You know, say if they can get one of the top two picks in either Ingram
mm-hmm.
or Simmons, depending on whoever they like better. And then, you know, Dunn or Hield or something like that. If they can bring those two guys along with Saric and Embiid, that's essentially four brand new players that are coming to this team that already has Noel, that already has Jahlil Okafor.
By the way, you're going to be able to draft some bench players later on.
Yeah, I mean, you have the 24th and the 26th pick as well that you can, you know, draft, you know, some guards. And, you know, I think everybody is in this whole, if Embiid comes back, you know, you have these three bigs, you're going to have to trade one of them immediately. No.
You don't.
No.
Try them out there.
Because one...
Who says you can't try having all three of them out there at the same time? Maybe it'll work. Maybe it won't. But just find out.
And again, it probably won't. But plain and simple, you don't know what you have yet. So why would
you
handcuff yourself?
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Take the shot. See what happens.
Yeah. You got it. One, you have to see which two play well together. I feel like, and again,
because you got to be able to get
all of them. All of them are centers, plain and simple. And you could probably, you know, figure out one of them to play the four, and you just basically play two centers. And if that's what you're going to do, that's what you're going to do. Now, again, if it's, you know, a situation of where, you know, Noel, I feel like –